Welcome everyone to another episode of Tech Bites. This is our last episode of the year. It is January 30th. We are coming on to the new year very quickly here. And as always, at this time of year, it's a time of reflection and thinking and contemplation about where we've been and where we're going. And I think this episode is going to pretty much be that for all of us. So I was scrolling through and looking at all the episodes that we did over this past year and all of the different changes that this podcast has taken. And I didn't quite realize how much we've done. We kind of go through them every week, every other week, and you don't really realize all the things that you've done. So a couple of highlights for our podcast over this past year. First one, big one, important one, happy to have this change, is the addition of our third co-host, Amin. Amin, it's been wonderful having you for this year.
Happy
so
to
thank
be
you
here.
So much for joining
of
us.
Of course. And
thank you, Amin.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I think you bring a really unique perspective between Biagio and myself. And I think like our addition of Tech Bites, which is another big change to this podcast, has been an opportunity to really showcase you two's perspective and really kind of looking at some of those things that you bring with your expertise and your knowledge. So I really am grateful for having you both here. I mean, for joining, Biagio for continuing this project and continuing to work with me. Along with all of these awesome changes, we had a year full of incredible guests. I was really impressed. Overall, we did 28 episodes, including this one. So for a year, we did 28 episodes. While we were making these big changes and figuring out where we were going with it and kind of figuring out our stride. But of those 28 episodes total, we had 14 incredible guests. So I think one of the things I'd like to see next year is for us to continue raising that number of awesome guests. A lot of times it comes down to schedules, but I think we can continue to raise that. But I mean, if you can you go through our guests? Because honestly, like, there is some really incredible people in here, and I learned something from absolutely every one of them.
Yeah, going back looking, it's incredible how many people we had, and it's easy to forget because we had 14, as you said. But it helps to go through the list and like refresh our memory of all the things that we learned. And I was happy with every single guest that we had on. So we started with artificial tutors for learning English as a second language with Jalal Sarabadani. We talked about misinformation with Colina Koltari, incredible conversation with her. We talked about really complicated AI ethical paradoxes with Rafael Siriello. We talked about memeing art with Aiden Walker, Hood and Country with Adam Hood. That episode was very interesting. Russ arranged that. We talked about very cool stuff about future of quantum computing and state of quantum computing with Dolar Kirkcuoğlu. We talked about how to build a lasting team with Thomas Smith. Talked about new future with AI with Joey Avram. We had Dennis Sitailo on our show to talk about how GE Healthcare goes about acquiring other companies and doing integration management with their technology and everything. We had talked about intelligent healthcare with Carl Swanson. It was a very interesting episode. That was the episode that I asked too many questions, if you guys remember. We had Professor Anna Kliss on our show, and she talked about very interesting fundamental and very specific economic concepts that connects technology and our future of everything, honestly. That was one of the most interesting episodes. We had a very philosophical episode with Dr. David Gunkel, and he titled it Thinking on Thinking. That was one of my favorite episodes. He talked a lot about writing and what AI can do for writing. And one, as a avid writer himself, I was very pleasantly surprised to see that he doesn't hate AI, you know? Which was great. We had a great conversation with Pete Pachal about journalism and its future, which has been a constant topic since the internet came in like a wrecking ball. And then on the last one, we had a discussion on supply chains with Thomas Higgins. So what do you think, Biagio? This was a refresher. What What did you learn from all of these guests, or which one kind of you look back and say, wow, I learned the most from this one? Not to come up with the ranking, but let's come up with the ranking.
What I like the most about this intro is that pretty much for every episode you said it was interesting, and that's, to me, is the absolute truth, right? There was not that moment with any guests, to be honest. Like, I learned so much from all of them, and I have to say, like, as a personal reflection, there was so much on AI from different perspective, though, right? It wasn't like the same thoughts coming from the same angle or the same field, right? We have people from computer science to people more on the IS or information system side to people in communication, right? So that brings a different way to look at this big disruptive technology. And to be honest with you, if you ask me which one was your favorite, it's very hard to just come up with one. And
I don't blame you.
It's definitely like I have some of them where I felt like the work of the guests is really impactful, like Corina Koltai on deepfake and pornography, like that is, to me, one of the issue with AI and definitely on the dark side of this technology, with all the positive they can bring. But also very related to that was Raffaele Cirillo episodes talking about companionship with AI, and also in that case, like, he highlighted some ethical consideration and the dark side of it on people, like when the system goes away and some people, like, take their life because they were so attached to it. Those were like, more on the dark side of it, and I think is a big reflection that we have to take as a society. Sure, it makes us more productive. Sure, we talk about it as a great productivity tool. But there are some negatives that come to it. There is some dark side that, as a parent, we need to account for. Those deep fake of real people and use for pornography is definitely concerning for somebody as a daughter. I admire Colina for all her hard work and what she's pushing. I actually honestly want her back, because I think we only scratched the surface, because she has such a rich story, like from Twitter too, to our researcher. So I mean, this is an open invite to have her back, to be honest, because we only scratched the surface of all the important work she's doing. And we generally want to support all this type of work that is putting some guardrail to this awesome technology. And you guys know how much I love technology and how much I'm passionate about AI, but there are these side of things that are really concerning. So I will start here, and I want to ask Russ what he thinks about all these different episodes. I have another one that I couldn't shut up, but let's see from Russ and his perspective.
I do love hearing you two talk with our guests as well. I think you always bring your own perspectives and ideas into it, and they always find it to be interesting too, in different connections and different ways we all kind of work together as humans. For me, I'm gonna go with Dr. Gunkel and the thinking on thinking. That was fun to me, because the whole time it was like a brain workout, which I think that's what philosophers intend to do, like that's their goal, right? So it was really interesting, and again, I feel like that one, I feel like each one of our guests, we were left wanting to talk with them more, which I think is always a good place to be. But I actively do want to talk with almost all of them again, just to continue that conversation. And that's the part that I'm looking forward to seeing, is having these relationships continue with these people that are doing incredible work along with yourselves, so that we can continue to see where these things are going, how they're progressing, and continuing our conversations with that stuff. So Dr. Gungo was my favorite, but again, I'm really excited to see where all of this goes.
On that one, if I can add on that one, the David, Dr. Gungo one, I think like his passion and like his ability to allocate time Again, we talked in a tech bite with Amin, like the most difficult things for us is allocate time for research. And for him, like 5 hours every day writing early in the morning is just like, I have so much respect for him, because like you need dedication, you need passion, and you need like the mindset to achieve that. Even when he's in his position, you know, department chair, full professor, still find the dedication and time. That's all. You know, sometimes you have these lessons within the lessons of the episodes, because all of our guests come from, you know, different background, and they didn't have an easy route to success. The path for all of them was very interesting, and that's another thing I learned, and I can relate a lot to that, and I think our listeners can relate to that, because sometimes the path to success is not straight line, but it's, most of the time is a climb up and down hills, right? So that was a positive message. Sorry, I mean, I cut you off.
No worries. I also want to point out the range of the guests that we had on the show. Like, we have from startup leaders, entrepreneurs, all the way to philosophers and academics. And we have people at different points of their careers. We have people who are chasing new technologies all the way to the boundaries. And we have people who are walking next to them trying to pioneer how society will react to that change. We had journalists here, and then we had tech entrepreneurs here. And I think we put together a great package for our listeners to see this whole phenomenon of technology, emergence of technologies and impact with technologies as a holistic phenomenon. And that's what I think the most appropriate way to approach this is. And because technology is so broad and spans, its impact reaches every part of our life. And I would like to congratulate us for doing a great job. I'm very happy with the job we've done.
Agreed.
It wouldn't be possible without you, Amin.
I want to say that I am the only one here that did not find a guest. You all did.
that was my irony, but I'm kidding. Like, it was really good. It was really good. I agree with you. I think one aspect of it, again, there were many people talking about AI, for example, right, or technology, but the angle of the different guests was very different. Like, the one I felt like I was learning the most to me was probably Dennis, about like acquiring new company and how you have to deal with the technology that you're bringing in to have a successful acquisition. That was like interesting to me, because I never saw or thought about that side of things, right? It's so far from my research interest, and so I learned a lot from that one. And as well, like which one was? You see 14 of them? is a good number. You keep going back and forth them. But like the adoption of technology and in other fields, they are, again, far from what we used to see or study. I think that with Dr. Carl Swanson, that was another good one where I learned so much. And I wouldn't think about, you know, those things on a daily basis. And so just with the exposure of those guests, learning is one thing that we want to achieve with this podcast. I think if we learn, it means so our listener can come down from those episodes, for sure.
It's going to be a good time to continue these ones. And the part that I like, and it was never really the intention of this podcast, but highlighting the professors and the people that we get to work with and the work that's being done here at NIU and in the Northern Illinois region, even that's an awesome thing. But it also highlights that wherever you're at in the world, in the country, there are people doing work like you're doing, or that are interested or are investing in it, and especially people like yourselves who are doing research and sending stuff out into the world. And sometimes we talked about that. Sometimes you don't get that feedback back, or it's 2-3 year process before you get published, or it doesn't turn into something, and you're just kind of going in with your colleagues in your department or in your campus. But being able to spread that out, I hope for you too, has been enjoyable as well. well. Yes. But then I think about like the professors that we interviewed from our campus, and you know, Professor Kliss and our Dr. Gunkel and all of those awesome people that are doing this work here, and we get to utilize and showcase that. So that is another side part that is really enjoyable to me.
Connected to that is also like when we have guests that are like alumni, right? We have a bunch of them all the time.
Good point.
This year the only one was Joy Abraham, but he's awesome, and we will love to have more of them. Like, cause it's kind of the demonstration that we help preparing students for the job market, and even if we are not Harvard, like our student can be very successful if they are like you. If I remember all those episodes and enjoy one, it's all about, you know, dedication and the willingness to put the effort and not have a mindset that like, okay, that's the most I can achieve, right? You can push your limits and you can do great things, and then NIU will prepare you for that. So having more, I hope honestly to have even more alumni in 2025 than we did this year, but having just Joy was a great episode as well. You can tell if somebody's gonna keep growing and keep learning, and it's not gonna stop until he reaches full potential. That was really an inspiring one as well. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, Biagio, I really like that, because I think there's a lot of rhetoric out there of some elements saying that like education and college education might not be as valuable. And I think what you touched on there is, yeah, if you don't show up and if you phone it in, yeah, it probably might not be as beneficial. But the people that take advantage of it, take it as a privilege, take it as an opportunity, know that it is valuable, and they put it in, and all of a sudden they're getting that back out. Now, of course, I know there's many other elements to that sentiment out there, but it is something to be shown that it doesn't have to be Harvard. It doesn't have to be Yale, even though those are incredible institutions, and we would love to have people from there come and join and discuss what they're doing. But at the end of the day, we are all still growing and learning and being able to do some good things in the world. So I'm excited to see some more of our alumni too.
And to be honest, connected to that, Ross, sorry, I mean, is one of our latest episodes, like the one with Thomas Higgins, especially for me as somebody that teach data analytics, having people from the industry coming to our show and reinforcing, you know, the way we teach stuff, what we teach, the skills that we teach, and pretty much like overlapping 100% with what we're doing in the classroom is very important, right? I spend a good amount of time preparing for my class, right? You know, it makes sense, but student needs that external reinforcement, right?
Right.
Many times professors are seen as people that know stuff, right? But they like also to brag about what they know and just talk, right? The entire class. But in the end of the day, behind the scene, there is so much preparation, just like, again, over the summer, looking at what are the job asking, what are the skills that they are looking at, what are... you know, all those things that go unseen, and then they realize it only maybe later when they need to apply those skills, when they need to showcase those skills, right? And instead, if you have those type of guests, they reinforce the process, right? You have the opportunity. You have, during your college years is the time where you have plenty of time to learn, right? So if you take it serious and you don't do it just for the grades, you are learning those skills. I tell all the time, build a portfolio, make yourself noticed. And again, it goes, I think I reached 15 to 20% of them, but when we have external guests telling you exactly the same thing, I think it's more powerful. I think one of the things I will do actually this semester is like, oh, go listen to what this guy was telling you about. And he's a manager in a pretty big company. So it's, you know, it has more value than just Biagio Palese, professor at NIU, right? So it validates our work, but it's also validates the importance of the skills that we cover in class and all that work that is unseen before every single semester. And we have also a good tech bite with Amin about that. There's so much that is unseen, but so much that is logical. And as you said, it makes sense, but... I don't think it's appreciated. And I think a lot of people go to college just with the mindset, oh, we need to take that piece of paper we need to get good grades, but that's the opposite, right? You need to build and you need to challenge yourself and you need to apply those skills on something that is interesting for you and not stop there. The learn doesn't stop at the end of my class. The learn doesn't stop with an A or a B or whatever is your grade. I think that's a message that we need to pass to them. If they want to be successful, if they want to, beyond, again, getting the degree, which is super important, super proud of all of them that graduated, but at the same time, I know they can achieve more, right? And that's having those guests help us to reinforce those aspects. I think is very important.
One of my favorite guests was Doğa Kürkçioğlu, just because he was very cool and
you want to be like him.
Yeah, I just like that. The only reason is just because he was cool. Love it.
I'm never gonna be like him, but I'm glad. Russ, you mentioned being in the Northern Illinois region. We are at a very incredibly scientifically, it's a very important region of Illinois and the country. We have Fermilab here, and that's where Doğa was from. And it doesn't really, if you talk about technology and computing, it doesn't really get more cutting edge than quantum computing. And it was like, it shows the opportunity we have and how good we took advantage of it to have a physicist that is literally working on quantum computing on our show. And what a great perspective he gave us about what it means to have a quantum computing, a quantum computer, what it means to AI, what it means to other computing applications. And we all saw with Google had the tiniest advancement about quantum computing. And what happened is, because the nature of this, we learned from our guest that the nature of quantum computing is like having if I'm going to use a weapons analogy, it's like having nukes. You can have small computers, powerful computers, but if you have quantum computing, you have quantum computing. You can have guns and jet fighters and everything, but if you have nukes, you have nukes.
Right.
It's zero and one. And if someone builds a quantum computer that is, I learned this from him. Right now, it's 90-something% accurate. If someone makes it that is accurate enough, like 99.99% accurate, which might not be out of reach, then there is no encryption anymore. That person can hear and see everything because it makes encryption for everyone else meaningless. On top of that, they can build AI models that they can train it to a point where no one could catch up in like 30,000 years, things like that. And, it connects to another interest of mine, I mean, anti-interest, if you call it, the cryptocurrency becomes completely irrelevant if some people have quantum computers and some don't. Because the point of crypto was free from governments, right? And guess who's going to have quantum computers first? Governments.
Governments, right.
And
right.
Then your cryptocurrency is worthless and government can just come take it and you won't even know. And I wouldn't have honestly thought about these things with this much information and this much interest and this much depth if we didn't have guests that helped us have that conversation. So I appreciate that.
I'm very excited to see what happens with our stock market and like trading.
Yes.
That's essentially what you're talking about, is when we're already seeing people being able to benefit from the stock market if they have the right powerful computer to make the fastest decision, to make the fastest. Well, and that's why sometimes we have problems, is because there's so many microtransactions being done in the split seconds that when something bad happens, it just gets amplified. Well, what happens when quantum computing is in there and we're like, oh, we did, 3,000 years worth of training or trading in, an hour or whatever. And you're like, we destroyed the whole world because we did, but those are the things that I want to talk to someone who's in finance and quantum computing to tell me about what that looks like, So we have other things to continue exploring within this stuff. Biagio, I cut you off. Sorry.
Of course.
No. I was just saying that one important aspect that raised in my opinion is that how, like, and again, as an information system professor, it makes a lot of sense. But I when I think about those different episodes that we have this year, and that specific one is more about, you know, the IT part of information system, right? So the thing that we have today, the fact that we can interact with this technology in this way is because of the advancement in the computational power and so on and so forth. But also we have so many guests stressing about the other important aspect of an information system, which is the people, right? And then we have so many episodes. We have an episode about the leadership with Thomas. We had episode, many other people were talking about the critical thinking, the importance of the critical thinking, right? So you need to know how to code if I can do it for you, right? And all of our guests were like, yes, you still need to know how to code, right? Because otherwise, what is the value that you're bringing, right? If your code is all AI generated, you are not generating any value. You need to still be able to ask the right question, create the right prompt, have the good ideas, right? So the fact that you have to not only make advancement on the IT side, but you still have to have the people side of things and stress out how important it is in our society. I think is one of the big message of this year, and I think is one of the thing I agree the most, just because again you can get faster in coding or you can achieve more things thanks to this improvement in the computational side of things. It doesn't mean that you need to neglect your soft skill. Actually, no, it's the opposite. You should reinforce them, and you should networking and critical thinking, all those things are going to become even more valuable. And I'm not sure people are dedicating as much time in them, or they are like, I think they are sometimes neglected. I think a lot of people like, oh, I want to build one more programming language under my belt. I want to do this. I want to do that. But don't forget about, you know, storytelling when it comes to data analytics, to critical thinking, asking the right question, and so on and so forth. I think that was, I think across the board, one of the strongest messages for our guests.
I could not agree any more than that sentiment, Biagio. One thing I want to ask both of you, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but is there a topic or something that you would like to make sure we cover in this new year? And of course, the future is always unknown, and there's always something that pops up that we never, I hope, everything that happens in 2025, we are all expecting, and we have 100% contemplation over it. We know what's going on, and there's nothing from, I don't know, another galaxy that approaches our planet, whatever. Like, that's really what I'm hoping doesn't happen. But in that case, if that does actually occur, we will find an expert and we will interview them. I promise you that. Yeah. But is there some things that you all would like to cover that we haven't really yet? And yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I think we have neglected energy. I think there's a lot going on with like new advances in analytics and AI that is using energy, both in the dirty energies of fossil fuel. There's a lot of AI modeling and extraction of oil and finding new deposits and both also natural gas. There's a lot going on, a lot more going on the renewable side. For example, there is about, because the renewable energy is intermittent, it's about power sharing. Like, what is the best line to connect these areas that to complement each other? When wind is blowing here, it doesn't blow there. When it's not blowing, something like that. There's a lot of research going on like that, and I imagine there are startups and companies that are trying to use AI to manage renewable energy and things like that. And also there is a lot of funding, federal funding, going into what is the best place for charging infrastructure and things like that. And what there is incredible amount of, it's like interesting, not incredible, interesting amount of in tech inside vehicles now that Google is helping develop to estimate range, which is critical for electric vehicles. The reason for that, the reason I'm saying it sounds very specific, but it encompasses a lot of problems. For example, to know range, the car should know where you're going. And that's an AI problem. By looking at where you started and where you, which direction you're headed, which road you're on, the car needs to guess where you're going. And that determines the temperature on the way, the elevation on the way, the wind speed on the way, and then it will give you a more accurate estimation. And I think, so in general, energy would be my suggestion for next year. And maybe I should step up and find guests, I guess.
I think it's time. After 1 year as a co-host, then it's time for you to bring some guests. But I actually, I'm very in line with them. I was thinking as sustainability more in general. I know that, like, for example, information system, there is a whole field or subfield on green IS. I think that's one aspect that we don't cover a lot. And I will also promise to put effort in bringing some guests in that area. From any point of view, again, like every time we play with AI and AI tools, we most of the time don't think about the consequences in terms of environmental waste of energy, just because we are playing around to create a new image that looks cool for our slides or whatever it is, right? We all interacting with that. They look so awesome. You just write in text and you get an image out, but behind the scene, there is so much environmental cost that they should be taken into account. I think we need to continue our conversation. Again, I don't want it to be only AI related, right? But is the new technology in town is the one that is the most disruptive? It's not new technology, we know that, but like to this magnitude, this is kind of new. So there are aspects of accessibility that can also be covered more about, and you know, even discrimination that can comes with it. I think we do need some guests on that side of things as well.
But, I think,
yeah.
Sorry, I think we should prioritize what Biagio said about sustainability, because that's actually a great point. Because now, I don't know if you guys have seen the news from several months ago till now. Google, Amazon, and these companies that have a lot of clouds and data centers, they're trying to buy nuclear power plants, which is fascinating because they have so much power needs. And this comes, this connects directly to the nature of these AI models, the deep learning models, which need a lot of computation power. And now, today I saw an article that in most of the, because of climate, most of the data centers are located near Southeast Europe, of United States, and those areas are running a risk of power outages in summer because of the amount of power the data centers pull because of AI training. And that's just increased enormously. Sorry, Biagio, I interrupted you. I just want to say topic was great.
I mean I was keep going around, like, again, this stuff that I would like to see, but it is, like, in general, like, the sustainability, it goes even beyond technology, to be honest with you. Like, I see, like, we see a society where most of the time we waste stuff. We waste food, we waste resources, and on any type of any kind as well, right? So that's something is very neglected. And I think our podcast can be a medium that, you know, connect all the dots. I just can personally share, like, my own town in Italy is pretty much without water and they can use it, like, for limited amount of hours, and it's, like, insane. Like, it's easier, it shouldn't be happening in 2024, but it is a reality. And and I think about, I sometimes I go in the shower and I stay certain amount of time, and it was like, do I need that amount of time? Do I need to waste that much water? Probably not. There are countries, not just Italy, like countries that people don't have water to drink, right? So I think that's part of our problem, our society problem. So I think some aspect on that, even though sometimes it's not strictly technology, I think we need to bring it to offer a full perspective of, you know, even open our eyes, because yeah, that society is going in some crazy direction. Yeah. And the other one I want to talk about, and is something that I think that's was the one, I mean, interrupted me, is social media. I think we touched upon it. We were talking about, you know, again, deep fake on social media and stuff like that, but they are really changing our society. I don't think that's how they were taught when they were created. I saw recently a good initiative of Instagram creating, because they know that teenagers are on them anyway, although it shouldn't, but they created a separate version of Instagram where the parents can control what the kids can see when they are, you know, underage. But there is so much consumption of information on social media. They are shaping how our, you know, kids are raised and how they behave. And again, I don't want to sound like an old man, but I think we are going the wrong direction on so many levels. And I think a lot of it starts from who are our influencers or what people do just to be popular in this society. I think it's the wrong message. I think we should talk more about it as well. So social media is another one. I think we need a couple of episodes too.
I love that idea. I was just reading an article talking about the child development and social media and how they literally see like a massive spike in 2013 in young girls with depression, self-harm, all, and like they are 100% associating that with the rise of social media on cell phones. So that is a very
mental health is one aspect that can be highly related to that, right?
Right.
Because of, again, the exposure that you have right now, if you do some mistakes and people now are like recording you when something silly happens, right? And then is the world your audience. It's not just those three people that were there. So it's blow up in a crazy way. And now a lot of people can deal with it. So those are like very concerning things. And a lot of things are doing, a lot of people are doing things that, you know, in the long run, they will cause them their dream jobs just because they were young. And at that time, it was something in and trendy or looking cool. And that's definitely something else I would like to bring more, and we'll find some good guests that can, they are more knowledgeable about it. But I, again, as a parent of two kids, something that is scare me so much.
For any of our listeners that are interested in that specific element of it, Biagio, there's an incredible book called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. It's absolutely inspiring because it goes around a lot of those people that we remember because they did something publicly and it went viral, but not so much excusing what they did, but like what their life is like 4, 5, 10 years later, that now you and I, like, we don't remember them. But when someone says, oh, what about that person, you know, or you make a meme about it, or someone references our memes, instead of it being celebrities, they're now, you know, Jim from Missouri. And you're like, Jim still has a life and Jim isn't a celebrity. So how does that, you know, function? And admittedly, yes, you might have made a mistake, but we, like, truly, we all make them. And I hope that the worst mistake I make, someone can forgive me for that, because I don't want to be held to that my entire life. But we now live in a society where that literally can be what you are remembered for at least a while. So I like that one too. Okay, cool. This is exciting.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, it as stands, I know, for example, we are not like a political podcast, but like, again, because of how much information is consumed and given how some of these social media are controlled, the message they are shared and how you've been targeting by them. No, I'm just honest about it, right? Just honest about it, right? So the information that you consume and what you are exposed to and the angle on which those information can be created now with AI and make it look very realistic and people just, you know, reshare without thinking is such a weapon, like, again, on so many levels, and is so dangerous. And I think people, we need to talk more about it so people can think more about it. It's not like about being one side or the other. It's just like reality of things, and you need to take it into account from years to come, because it's, again, such a powerful tool, and it sometimes is used for for the bad, not for the good of the people. They, again, I cannot say how upsetting and frustrating it is that we are in a year where I think there are so many wars across the globe, and the angles they are put on these different social media is like, it's in just to divide people even more, which to me is pretty much what they want to justify this world in the first place. We are not that different if we listen to each other, and I think in 2024 we should be able, on 2025, because 2024 is over, we should be able to go over differences in more in a human way. But
it's a good way to look at it, Biagio. Yeah. This is like, how do we make this more of a human thing? Because all of these elements do impact our day-to-day lives.
The civil people, the population is the people that are suffering in those countries. And some of them are so far from us. And we just put it as like, oh, we need to conquer or we need to stop them or whatever. But in reality of the things, the people are dying right now. They don't have a house. And this is 2024. And I don't know, I studied so much history in school, and I was, one thing that I always learned was human never learn from history. But I think it's time to learn from history and not repeat the same mistakes. Yeah. So.
You know, talking about being human, someone once told a very interesting thing to me and said, we have problems with humans when we don't interact face to face. We have problem accounting for someone's humanity if we don't interact face to face with them. And look at the places where we don't interact face to face with them. While driving, we all get road rage and we really want the other person absolutely dead and annihilated. And or we are behind a computer screen. We are not interacting face to face. And then people tend to care much, much, much less about the humanity of the other person. And that's true about victims across the world, like around in the other side of the world. We see them, we hear about them, but we never interact with them face to face as humans. So we have no problem ignoring their humanity, which is very dark. I didn't want this to be that dark.
You know, I'm going to take this as a challenge to switch this and end on a positive note here, and watch me do it. Here we go. I think if nothing else, we can take away from our conversations, our interactions, our relationships, is that we have a lot of work to do as we continue into this next year. But when I lay my head down at night, I find so much comfort in knowing that there are people out there that are trying to do good and are working very hard to make this world a better place for everyone, even those that we might ignore their humanity for. So thank you both so much for doing this journey with me. I look forward to 2025. And for all of our listeners, thank you for spending some time with us. Hopefully it's an entertaining or if not informational experience with us. And we look forward to the
like
future.
And subscribe. Like and subscribe. We can have more guests.
Like and subscribe as always.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you.
And thank you for listening to another episode of The Gateway, brought to you by Northern Illinois University, where your future is our focus. And please remember to love always the promise of tomorrow today.